Well, good morning, everyone. It's a real pleasure to be with you today. This is a church that I've heard of for many years, but this is the first opportunity I've actually had to be here, so it really is my pleasure. Let me introduce myself first before we go any further. My name's Graham McMeekin, and I know a number of you know me, some from years back. I've just spotted Ian over there anyway, and it's been years. Some know me for many, many years. I am a volunteer with Tier Fund. I am a volunteer speaker on their behalf. I also sit in their Scottish advisory group. So basically talking to them about how to go about things in Scotland. However, my day job is I work for International Christian College as their vice principal. And the reason why I'm telling you this is because the normal response I get to that these days is, and so what do you do now? I am still the vice principal of International Christian College. We're graduating our final batch of students this Saturday. But you're the first church that we've been able to come to and tell about something called the Scottish School of Christian Mission. I know a number of people here have connections with BTI, with GBC, with ICC, maybe even Northumbria Bible College as well in the past. Well, the Scottish School of Christian Mission is the latest iteration. Because of weird funding things, and I'll not go into all the details, we've basically had to close down and relaunch, and we'll be delivering things in a new way, which will actually enable us, enable students to get funding to come and study with us, and that's quite a change. So you are the first church to actually see the new banners that are there, and you should all have a postcard on your chair. There are 8 different postcards. You can go around everybody afterwards and try and get a full set of 8, or you can come to the desk at the back. I'll not go into any more detail about SSCM, because that's not the purpose why I'm here, but I would encourage you to check out the website or to have a chat with me afterwards about what that's all about. But let me not take any time away from talking to you about Tier Fund and let you know what's going on there. I don't know how much you remember about your childhood. I was in a meeting recently and I was being asked all sorts of strange and wonderful questions about my childhood. And for most of them, I scratched my head and went, I just can't remember. I just can't remember that much of my childhood. But there are certain things that stick in your head. And I remember whenever I was a child being shopping with my mum and going around that shop. And at one point, I lost sight of my mother. And I'm sure many of us remember that feeling. Some of us are parents, and may remember that feeling from the other end, where you suddenly can't see your child who you thought was right next to you at that time. And you know that gut-wrenching feeling where you suddenly realize, I'm alone, I panic, I don't know what's happening. And all the fears and all the feelings and emotions are mixed in with that. Well, that is a feeling that we know often you find your parent within 5 minutes, 10 minutes, if it's really bad, half an hour, and you find your parents. But imagine being a child where that solution never comes to be. One of the things that Tier Fund are focusing on at the minute is about child slavery and about those times whenever the child basically is sold off and moved and shipped to another country far away and has that never resolved feeling of where's my parents, what's happened to my family, where is everything. And for us, we might remember it for just a moment and it stays with us for the rest of our lives, well, at least in my case it does. But for that, those children, it's not just a feeling that stays there the rest of their lives. It's the actual experience. What I want to do is I want to read a passage about child slavery in some regards, but about other things as well in Scripture. So if you'd like to turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 4, or you can read from the screen. You should be able to read that, hopefully. And we'll read from 2 Kings chapter 4. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my 2 boys as his slaves." Elisha replied to her, How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? Your servant has nothing there at all, she said, except a little oil. Elisha said, go round and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side. She left him, and afterwards shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another one. But he replied, there's not a jar left. Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left. I love some of these narratives in the Old Testament, some of these passages where you read through and you try and understand and try to grasp with the story that's going there. I don't know how much you know about Elisha and this particular story. Most of us, whenever we say Elisha, whenever someone says Elisha, responds with another name. And any guesses what that name would be? We may as well do audience participation. Elijah. That's the automatic reaction. We think Elisha and Elijah. We put the two together because there are so many echoes between one and the other. And in fact, Elijah was Elisha's mentor. But as we read through 2 Kings, which is really the story, at least the start of it, the story of Elisha, we see so many echoes of things that happen in 1 Kings, where we read more about Elijah. And in this particular story, we're reading 2 Kings chapter 4, but it resonates with 1 Kings chapter 17. Because in 1 Kings chapter 17, Elijah is meeting with a widow who's basically sort of suffering. Her, you know, there's issues in terms of starvation and poverty that's there. And she says, I have just a little bit of flour, a little bit of oil. And Elijah performs a miracle there through God. And you have, God through Elijah, I should say. Elisha has a similar story here. And actually, if you read both passages, they follow on immediately with another story that is an echo as well. And it's one in which there's a widow whose son has passed away, and there's a resurrection event. And we can see in both those passages, we see prophets prophesying about what Jesus would do in the future, both in terms of Jairus' daughter, but also in terms of resurrection and Jesus' resurrection and our own resurrection as well. So we see all these echoes throughout, not just of Elijah and Elisha matching, but also Jesus himself and what he does. And this passage is no different. We see a passage here about debt. We see one about debts that need to be paid. And for us, as we reflect and think about our Christian heritage, you know, we think maybe about Matthew 6 and the Lord's Prayer, you know, forgive us our debts. I grew up in Northern Ireland where it was trespasses, and I didn't quite understand why walking on somebody's ground was such a big deal that we needed that much forgiveness from it. But, you know, forgive your debts, as we more frequently say now. But those debts being, you know, sins, amongst other debts as well. And so we see a forgiveness of debts story. But as we look upon this story and just see it as a story in its own right, we see a woman who is desperate. We see a woman who's lost her son, lost her husband, a prophet, and is about to lose her sons because of the debts that she owed, because of the suffering that's there. She is about to lose them. They're about to go from her. And she has nowhere to turn. Eventually, she finds Elisha and turns to Elisha and says, I need help. I need help. And Elisha asks her, well, what do you have available? What is in your house? And you, as you read the story, you can see she almost says, well, she does say nothing. Except a little oil. And one of the things that we see in this passage is what God can do with just the little that is there. What God can do with just the little that is there. And this is something we read about constantly throughout the scriptures, you know, whether it's with the parable of the talents, whether it's the feeding of the 5,000, you know, and the little boy brings some bread and fish. You know, what God can do with the little that is there. One of the things that Tear Fund are trying to encourage people to look at is, and particularly as part of their campaign, the No Child Taken campaign, which is looking at child slavery, is actually to think, okay, well, what can we do that is actually with the little that people have in order to prevent these things happening? I'd like to take us to a place that's already been mentioned today, Nepal. Nepal has very much been on our news for the last month or so, since 25th of April, whenever there was an earthquake, as you all know. At the time, I think, according to the records, and it's very difficult to work out exactly accurate records, there was about 8,000 people died as a direct result of the earthquake. But there was actually about 8 million who have been affected by it in some way or other. Now, in actual fact, Tear Fund were actually working in Nepal already at that point. In fact, there was a team from Scotland went out to Nepal, I think it was in February or March time, and were actually out there seeing some of the projects that are out there. But one of the problems that we didn't hear about so much, but are actually exacerbated by the earthquake, is that there is a child trafficking problem happening in Nepal. You'll see it's sandwiched pretty much between India and China there. It's completely landlocked between the two countries. And what is actually happening, and this is before the earthquake, and I expect it'll be worse after the earthquake, is that approximately 50,000 children die in Nepal each year. Child mortality rate. 60% of which from malnutrition, others from poor sanitation and things like that. And so there's families who are desperately struggling. Part of the reason for that is it's an agricultural place. It's a place where they rely on farming and things like that and trying to sort of plant crops and work through. And they've suffered from all sorts of things that have prevented that, whether it be, well, between 1996 and 2006, there was a civil war going on in the country, and so people were displaced. There's been lots of other problems happening as well. So, as I say, there's about 50,000 children dying each year, but there is approximately 10,000 to 15,000 women and girls being trafficked out of the country every year. Now, if you think about 8,000 directly died as a result of the earthquake, we're talking about almost double that are actually being trafficked each year in the country. And you have girls being sold for as little as £1.60. And for the families who are selling it, and quite often it is families who are selling it, it's because they are so desperate for the food. They don't want to see their family members go, they don't want to see their children go, but they are so desperate for that £1.60 that to purchase whatever food they can to survive another day, that they feel as if they have no choice. Very similar to the women that we've read about in our story in 2 Kings 4. They're that desperate, they will do anything that they can to be able to pay off debts or to be able to get that little bit of money. I'm going to show you a video about what work's going on in Nepal. Tear Fund have a partner agency in Nepal called CARNET. CARNET stands for Children at Risk Network. And what we'll do is we'll watch a brief video so you can understand a little bit about the work that they're actually doing out there at the minute.
The girl behind me, called Mina, she is about 6 years old. She was rescued by the local church from being trafficked across the border a year ago.
One day I was playing with my friend when a man came and took me. He held my hand and took me away.
A lady who was known to my family in Nepal said to my mother, I can get her a job in India. I was just a child. I didn't know I was being brought into this brothel. I was so young. I didn't know anything about the darkness of this world and the kind of things people did. They used to force me into this work and I used to tell them, please don't do this with me. But they never listened. They said, you have been bought. A price has been paid.
About half of the population in my country, Nepal, is covered by children. So we are helping the children by strengthening the church and mobilizing them in their own community. And also telling the people about the risks of trafficking, doing the awareness campaigns in village to villages, helping the women, giving them the training on business skills so that these women are generating income for their family as well as for the children to afford them to the school.
Because of this work, many of the parents are aware and they are now taking care of their children well and the children are being protected. I have 4 boys and 4 girls. If I hadn't got the training and learned about trafficking, my children would definitely have been taken. Now they can stay here, go to school and have proper food. People who come from good families don't do this kind of work. I came from a decent family and I didn't want to do this. This work is evil.
A few years ago, many of the women and children from our community were being trafficked to Mumbai into the brothels. Now the people are more aware and now they say we will protect our children.
I'm very happy now.
The strategy that Tearfund are using in places like Nepal is to try and prevent trafficking happening in the first place. So those that are trafficked either for bonded labour or within sort of other industries, let's put it that way, to rescue somebody who's actually been trafficked costs around £7,000. To prevent someone from getting trafficked costs about £36. So it's much more cash efficient to actually prevent it happening in the first place. And by doing that, they're providing training, they're providing sustainable food growth and all sorts of other things within the countries. Nepal is one example. We're going to watch another video an individual called Nang, who I can never pronounce the name, lives in Laos. Leo? I'm not entirely sure how you pronounce L-A-O-S, but they pronounce it better than I do on the video. So we'll watch just a brief clip of that as well.
Meet Nang. She's 12. Nang lives in Lao, in Southeast Asia. Families here are desperately poor, living on less than $2 a day. One rice harvest a year does not give the family enough. She will complete school this year. There are no jobs. There is a road that leads to Thailand, where she is told there's well-paid work. But that offer may be too good to be true. Men are ready to deceive Nang and tell her that she can get a better life there. Away from her family, Nang will work hard, but her pay will first have to cover her travel costs. She will then be offered bar work. She is now in real danger. The way Nang is used in the bars will leave her feeling hurt for the rest of her life. 1 in 3 girls goes on to work in the red light district. Desperate families often see only opportunity, not danger. It is estimated that over 3,300 children are trafficked every day. Tear Fund believes that no child should be taken, whether that's by trafficking, disease, or disaster. We're working to protect 50,000 vulnerable children from danger in 2015. In Laos, near the Thai border, we're working to prevent children being taken. With your support, we can train people to increase crop yields and start up small businesses. Tear Fund is right at the heart of communities, working through Christian partners like Anne. By showing concern for the vulnerable, our partner Anne is demonstrating God's love for the poor. And with your support, we can educate families about the dangers of trafficking and start tracking programs so that they can protect themselves. But we need you to be part of the answer too. Child trafficking is happening now and on a huge scale. We can only be there to prevent it with your ongoing support.
So, as I say, Tear Fund work with partners who are in the country primarily on prevention work, preventing trafficking from happening already. And they do this by four main approaches. The first is that they provide traffic awareness training. That's basically for people like Nang, her family wouldn't necessarily understand what the dangers are of, you know, basically selling their child. They don't know actually what happens next. Basically, they need the money here and now, and so they're not thinking through the entire process. So if we go to the next slide, Richard, if that's possible. And again, thanks. Yeah, traffic awareness training is part of what they're doing. The second thing that they're doing is actually providing education and skills training. If they can actually equip people with skills to be able to generate an income, to be able to do different things so that they've got a flow of money coming in and out, then again, there's no need for them to be dependent on sort of this money that they get from selling members of their family. So education and skills training can be quite important. Now, for some of that, it can be anything from, you know, farming methods to sort of sewing, printing methods. It can, in some cases, be, you know, repairing motorcycles, all sorts of skills training that they can do, that they can actually be of more value to their family by staying there than by being sold. And the third area that they do is developing something called self-reliant groups. Now, there's something called self-reliant groups, self-help groups. They're groups of individuals that they bring together to be able to upskill each other, to train each other in things like how to do different businesses, how to sort of manage money, aspects like that. But what they might do is, and a typical example would be that they would meet together once a week and they would take a collection, a small proportion of their money into a pot. And that pot together, so just say you've got 10 individuals, and if we put it into our context here, it'd be like 10 individuals coming together and putting in £1 each week. So you'd have, in essence, £10 in the pot in a week. In a month, you have £40 in that pot. And that £40 can actually be used as a loan by any member of the group to be able to invest in a new business idea. And investing in that new business idea, they're able to start something new and generate something new and be able to start a new business that way. And so they're actually all supporting each other and they're all invested in trying to support that new business and helping that new business. So it's a form of microfinancing, if you like. And then the fourth area is something called seed funding. In some areas, it's just not even possible to get that, well, in our case, £1 a week, that even that little bit of money. And so Tear Fund do provide some seed funding. Seed funding is that funding just to get a project going. Sometimes it's literally seed funding, sort of paying for some seeds for planting, etc. But can be other forms of seed funding as well. So obviously, Tear Fund are very busy with this and very much involved. And this is really their aim, and you've seen in that video that they're aiming to support 50,000 over the course of 2015 in doing that. And there's lots of ways in which you can get involved. I'm very thankful for this church right in the very outset for all the work. I know as individuals and collectively you've done a number of things for Tear Fund in the past, and I thank you for that as well. It's really great to actually sort of get on board with this project. But what I'll do is I'll sort of move through, if you go through again, Richard, if that's okay, some of the things that we can do. One of the most important things we can do is pray. And I know we always say that, but I don't think we always practice that as often as what we say it. To actually pray for the work of Tear Fund, to pray for the partner organizations like Carnet in Nepal, amongst others, to pray for the children and the families who are suffering in this way and doing that. And certainly if you all have some cards on your chairs, and feel free to fill one in and not do anything about the section, and you can actually be on the prayer list, and we can ensure that Tear Fund send you prayer updates about what's going on so you can be informed in your praying. Another aspect is donating money. You can do this yourself, or you can do something daft to get people to fundraise for you. I did that this year. I started running about a year or two ago and just decided to do the most daft thing in the world, which was not just run one marathon, but do my first marathon and my second marathon within 8 days. And people sponsored me for it, for Tear Fund. And it was a great way of doing it. I was shattered by the end of it, as you can imagine. But it was a great way of raising money for Tear Fund, and maybe there's something you could do that would help generate finances for Tear Fund. Or you can be involved in regular giving as well. You can do that either by filling out the cards or talking to me at the end. As I say, it costs about £36 per month, sorry, £36 per child to prevent sort of them being trafficked. That's sort of working out all sorts of strange finances, and Tear Fund are very careful about working out quite the proportion and how they do that. So if you're able to give £12 a month, then that would work out as four children across a year. If you're able to give only £3 a month, then you know that's a child per year and doing that. And so if you could get involved, then Tear Fund would certainly really appreciate that. But we understand you're also committed to other things as well. But please, at the very least, if you could pray for the work that's going on. I realise that time has gone. However, if we can just take the opportunity just now just to pray together, if that's all right. And let's pray for some of those children. And then I'll pass back on to Jimmy to close, if that's okay. Let's pray. Loving Father, we open our hands in prayer. We come to you today with nothing of our own to give, knowing that we are completely dependent upon you. You made your world to be perfect, to be filled with good things, perfect love, peace, relationship with you. Nothing speaks more of the brokenness of this world than the horror of trafficking. Lord, we lay this darkness down before you. We ask you to come in power. We ask for your help. Shine your light, Lord. Lord, you desire that all people live in love and truth with each other. But there's cruelty and self-interest, hatred and lies. People pursue wealth at the cost of human suffering. You made your people to be free, but they have been enslaved. You desire children to be cherished and protected, but they have been exploited and abused. Lord God, forgive us for our part in the distortions of this world. Look with mercy on all you have made. Redeem us and remake us. Shine your light, Lord. We pray for the places in the world where poverty and desperation make people vulnerable to being trafficked. We pray for an end to the injustice that makes people feel that they have no choice but to sell themselves, put themselves in danger, even sell their children. Dear Lord, into this darkness, shine your light. Loving Father, we pray for those who are committing the crime of trafficking today. We know you have the power to influence hearts and minds. Transform them, Lord. Open their eyes and let them see the pain they are causing. Lord, we pray for those who have the power to influence policies and laws. Equip them with a passion for justice and sustain them with your energy and compassion. Finally, Lord, we pray for all those who are slaves today. We know you've promised to set captives free. Until that day, give them your hope, your strength, your healing, and your grace. Help them to know that you are with them and comfort them in their suffering. We lift all these prayers to you in your powerful name, Jesus. Amen.